what about the project with Charlie?
Well, the one with Charlie, he had he and Buddy Green did a song called Heart Playing Fools. And he and Jim Isbell did one called Snakebite, which is very reminiscent of one that was on the Area Code 615 album that ended up being the theme song for the British equivalent of American Bandstand for 8 years.
Wow. What song was that?
It was called Stone Fox Chase. It also ended up in a TV show called Entourage. It also ended up being a in a movie called Without a Paddle. And then there was a rap artist from Georgia that cut it and added some rap over top of it. So it's a pretty versatile song. It's been around a while, but anyway, it only had percussion and harmonica. That's all it had on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did the one called Snakebite with Jim Isbell and himself. They kind of grew up together. He's an excellent drummer. But anyway, he ended up doing a duet with some European guys. Seward Plack is one of them. He's a fine guitar player.
You cut all that here, Cinderella.
Not all, not the European stuff, no. But he has a band called The United, he may have told you about, that each member of the band's from a different country. There's a guy from Holland, there's one from Denmark, one from France, and so on. But the heart player's from U.S., and they travel all over Europe. And then he's got another band, the Tom Bola Band, that he plays with in the Czech Republic. And
wow.
So everywhere he goes, he's got his own band. Me and Russ and some guys from West Virginia played with him for the West Virginia's birthday celebration this past summer. We did 4 gigs one day.
Wow.
One of them was down on the water on the Kenora River at a new park they just built. And the finale of the day was a PBS special with Dierks Bentley.
Hmm.
But it's on NPR radio. That turned out well. We did 4 songs, I think, with Charlie.
Do you have any advice for somebody that's new to Nashville or been here a while trying to get noticed, what they might do?
Yeah, show up 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. That'd be about all I could say, because now it's a completely different town.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you've seen so many changes.
Well, I have. I mean, you see that album right over, says the Greenwoods?
Uh-huh.
I took that into Owen Bradley's office, and I said, here's something we cut on a 2-track machine. See if you like it. If you do, I'd like for you to put it out. He played it and said, yeah, I like it. I'll put it out. You don't do that today.
Right.
If you can't overdub, if you can't punch in, if you can't use a thing to make your voice in tune jump through a bunch of hoops and have 18 lawyers involved, you can't even get a record contract. But that was me and Charlie McCoy and Matt Gage, same people that was in the Escorts and all that. The guy named Wello Collins played banjo. Well, what that is folk instrumentals. So we were playing 12 strings and doing all kind of Kingston Trio sounding stuff. Owen liked it and said, yeah, I'll take it. And in this day and time, you can't pull that off. It's just gotten way too corporate. You know, it's if somebody signs an artist, it's liable to be 2 years before they get a record out.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about topical issues or something like that, you're dead in the water. You know, back in the early days, if you're writing a protest song about the Vietnam War or something, it doesn't do you any good to wait till 2 years after you wrote the song to put it out. It doesn't make any sense. There's the industry's changed so much.
Yeah.
For instance, let's say you wrote something topical about the oil spill, let's say. You could have that on the internet in 24 hours now.
Right.
If you send it through the right folks. and what is that, CD Baby? And that didn't exist 20 years ago.
Right.
When I got to Nashville, there was like 9 people doing all the sessions.
Yeah.
Never, Chet and Floyd and Buddy Harmon, Bob Moore, Pig Robbins, Harold Bradley.
Pete Drake.
It's funny, Pete had a guitar player that he kind of took under his wing. He was a left-handed guitar player. And he brought him in and set him down in front of me and said, "You watch him and cop everything he does." And I thought, well, he'll have a hard time doing that being left-handed.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he was looking at it left-handed. So.
Right.
it worked out rather well. But he was a great guy. He went to France once 1 year. We played over there we played in 75. McCoy was on that trip, and in 79, McCoy had a conflict. He couldn't go. So I got to be the band leader. And we had the Muscle Shoals horns and background singers and all this. We were working with a guy named Eddie Mitchell, him and Johnny Holiday are sort of the Elvis of France. And we packed the Olympia Theater 31 days in a row, and it holds 2,300 people. That's easier to pull off if you're in a big town, and Paris is a big town. But we did a matinee on Sundays for just the press, you know.
Isn't that fun playing over there?
Yeah, it was fun. I didn't much care for the town. There was a lot of, you know, violence and hookers on every corner and stuff. But it took some getting used to. I couldn't speak a language, of course, and try to order a hamburger, and they'd bring it to me with an egg on top of it, stuff like that. But it was quite an experience. And we had a vocal group called Rain Tree. 1 year, we had Leah Jane Baronetti and a couple of her girls another year. That was really an experience. There was a situation once where my son went with us. My son John, who mixed a whole bunch of Barefoot Things. He was our road manager for 11 years. Anyway, he went to Paris with me, and it was one night the drummer was incredibly sick, and he just couldn't play. And we had a packed house, and somebody had to play them drums. So my son got up there and played every lick that Cy had played, and Cy went out and ran the console.
Wow.
Which he didn't have to do anything. John already had it set. He put a couple of extra kicks in and Cy didn't do. But so he's incredibly talented. He suffered through a lot of things. He used to pour Jimmy Covard into bed every night after the show and stuff.
Yeah, them road managers, they earn their money, don't they?
Oh, they do. They do. He would show up in the town before we got there with a van full of amps and instruments, get them all set up, get the piano put on stage, and then tune it. You know,
yeah.
Things like that. Collect the money before the show.
Yeah.
Make sure there's a cheese tray and a bunch of, fruit and stuff in the dressing room. And we'd get in a twin-engine Navajo and fly to wherever it was. Mm-hmm. He'd pick us up in an empty van.
Right.
Because he had already set up all the stuff. He really worked for his money.
Yeah, that's incredible what they do.
And screwed up his back slinging amps.
Yeah.
But he was a hard worker. And he's an elder in the Church of Christ now. Him and Don Williams are in the same church.